today on You're Buying a Home with Silas Lindenstein, we're talking about the appraisal gap, what it is, and how you can use it to win the next home. Hello, everybody, and welcome to You're Buying a Home with Silas Lindenstein. I am your host, Silas Lindenstein. Welcome to episode number 36, The Appraisal Gap, what it is and how you can use it to win that next home. That is the title of the episode. And welcome so much to this show that is all about educating and empowering home buyers all over the nation. Let me introduce myself. My name is Silas Lindenstein. I am a real estate agent in the Seattle, Washington area with Boutique Brokerage. But hey, even if you're not in Seattle, this podcast is still for you. This podcast helps everybody all over the nation, as I said. Whether you're one of the listeners, many in Minneapolis, Minnesota, whether you're in Tampa Bay, Florida, whether you're in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, that's where you're moving to, this podcast still helps educate you on the home buying process. Some of the terms we use are a little different here, but they mean the same thing. In the end, buying a house is buying a house. And the things we teach you here, you can apply to almost every other state. Of course, your local real estate professional that you're working with will be able to clear up some of those differences. Like if we talk about escalation clauses, not legal in Texas, not legal. So you'll need a different technique to use to get that home out there. So that's where it's at. But this podcast is apparently, I mean, it's been crazy. The number of listeners is unbelievable to me. I mean, I can tell it is a seller's market out there. Things are going crazy with home purchasing. So I get maybe people are out there searching for just different strategies, and that's where this show comes in. If this is the first time listening to this show, if you go back to the first 10 episodes, that is the step-by-step process of buying a home. Very straight and simple. Here are 10 steps to buy a home. Then after that, we go off into strategies and little more detailed little items on it. So if you just want the step-by-step, go back and listen to the first 10. And then, you know, people say they binge the show. So then come forward and listen to different techniques and different strategies people are using. Maybe you can apply them to your situation, right? Of course, if you want that also as an ebook, I do have that available. Just email me at silas@silasgetsreal.com. It's free. Just tell me who your name and who you where you live. I mean, not your address, just like what city you're from, and I'll email that to you. It's a PDF, and it's an ultimate guide for buying a home, and you can have it in physical form, in case that's how you like to absorb things. If that is your learning way, I have that available for you. Okay. Also, just to put this out there, if you're in the Seattle area, I would love to help you find a home. I am currently taking clients. It's okay. Check with me. You can email me at silas@silasgetsreal.com. Or, if you're in another state, I have a connection of real estate agents all over the country that I connect people with, and they are closing things and buying things on a regular basis. And I can connect you with a real estate agent in that area. You'd be surprised. Even if you're like, you know, this town's too small, you can go look at the reviews on Apple Podcasts. I've found people, agents in remote areas. And here's the thing. Even if I don't know someone then right away, I can find you one. I have the resources. And it's almost like you get two for one agents, right? Like you get me making sure they do a good job because they want me to send more listeners over to them. So I make sure they're doing a good job. I've vetted them. I've checked them out to make sure that they really are good, that other people like them, and that they know their stuff. And I let them know, you know, so you send me an email, say, hey, I'm in, I don't know, Denver, Colorado. can you please help me out with an agent? And I'll send you to my girl Chelsea out there. Shout out, Chelsea. My favorite agent out there, and she's already she's currently helping clients find a home right now. Love her. I will get you. I will ask you some questions, and then I will connect you with her, and that'll be it. And you're on your way to home buying in that area, and it's very exciting. And of course, hey, if you do find something valuable from this podcast, whether that's not just help and connections, but if you learn something about the home buying process, or if you, just have a different perspective now about the housing market because of this podcast, please, can you go to Apple Podcasts and give us a 5-star review and leave some comments? I would love it. Love it so much. It helps us out tremendously. Okay. And now before we move on to the topic of the day, we got a question of the episode. I started doing this a couple episodes back and then slipped my mind. Okay. I've been asking for people to send in questions. They send in questions all the time anyway, but I've wanted to do a thing where I answer a question that people send in to me about real estate buying, or questions that people I hear from people. I recently got a question here. Why does cash seem to always win? Why does cash seem to always win? And follow up, can you ever beat a cash offer? Now, this is a complicated question. Can you ever beat? Yes, you can. Actually, some people, for them, the final number is the final number. What matters, even if you're paying cash, it doesn't matter. Cash offers tend to win because they're just simpler. There's not going to be any contingencies. So the seller knows that they're going to get the money right away. And that's it. It's going to be a simple transaction. And that's so often why the cash will win. Even a little underprice sometimes. But it's all about them. Are they willing to take 10,000 under? Just or 20,000 under to make sure it's cash? Sometimes they are, like if they know the house is overpriced, or if they know that, or the offer they're getting is way over and they're afraid of the appraisal, and we're going to get that kind of ties into today's episode. If they're afraid, if they're confident on the price, they'll stick it out. Doesn't matter. The cash buyer is going to be very alluring, and they can close quicker. And I don't know why, like for personally me, in an extra 2 weeks, I can make an extra 20,000. I'm going to go with the loan. Okay. So there's ways to combat it though. So, so that's generally why. It's just easier. So your job as somebody with a loan is try to make the seller's opinion of you and their thought process on you is that you're going to close quick. You're going to be no problem. That's all they want from you. Just a quick, easy purchase. And then you won't back out, right? So there's a lot of ways to do that. But just know you gotta go in strong if you think you're competing cash. There's certain price points around different areas that you know this is a potential cash deal that you're going to compete against. So watch for that. But on to today's topic, appraisal gap. What is it? What is the appraisal gap? Okay, so in the top 10 episodes, first 10 episodes, we talk about the appraisal. And the appraisal is the amount which the third-party person, the appraiser, comes out and decides this is how much this house is worth. And they get a copy of the contract that you put on the house. So they get a copy. It says, let's say it says it's $400,000 home. They have a contract. It says that that's what you want to purchase it for. So they're going to see, can I justify this? They're going to examine the home, get a bunch of details about it, write it down in the notebook, in their handy-dandy notebook, and then they're going to look for three other homes within a quarter mile, maybe a half mile, maybe they'll even go up to a mile. But they're going to try to find three homes in that vicinity, in that area, that are similar enough in quality, style, whatnot, age, as similar as possible. And they are going to figure out if in the past sales, in the past 6 months in particular, can they justify it with these comparables, these comps? And then they come out with the value of the home, in their opinion, right? So that's an appraiser. And there's three things that happen with an appraisal. So one, it comes in at value. It's a, your contract price was $400. It comes in at $400. Nothing happens. Proceed to closing. It can come in over value. Contract price was $400. They said, this house, it's worth $410. All right, then you're popping champagne, right? You are over instant equity when you get in the house, theoretically. Option number three is the one we don't like, that the house is undervalued. They put it in at $390. Uh-oh, there's a $10,000 gap. So it is short $10,000. And this is what sellers hate, because then you as a buyer, like, well, I don't want to pay for something that it's worth. It's not even worth it. It's not worth what I'm paying. But also banks will say, well, we're not going to pay a loan on something that's not worth what you're paying for it. That doesn't make sense to us. So the seller is then forced to either come down in price, and to drop, that's because that's the first thing the buyers are going to do is say, well, how about they drop the price to $390? Seller doesn't want to lose that $10,000. They're like, no. You need to bring in the money. You bring that in. So this is where negotiation happens. And oftentimes it would happen like, hopefully in the middle, like at $395. So that means you have to bring in as the buyer an extra $5,000 in cash to cover that shortfall. And the seller takes a loss of $5,000. So they lower the contract price to $390, right? That's a good compromise. Now, a lot of buyers don't have that extra money. So then they can't do it. So then you walk away. Basically, it's your chance. It's your opportunity, if it doesn't appraise, to walk away from the property. And in most states, actually, check with your professional. If it says $390, you can just walk right then. If you'd be like, oh, it didn't appraise for the contract price, I don't even want this house now. That's fine in a bunch of states, but check it out before you do that. So because of this unknown situation, sellers are right now, because of the overinflation, in some ways overinflated prices, people are crazy, paying crazy amounts over list price. And the seller's like, well, I want this. I know this house isn't worth $450. I don't think it's worth $450. There's no comps that I can see. And the agent's like, yeah, it's not worth $450. But this person, they're willing to pay $450. What they want you to see is either you waive appraisal, or put an appraisal gap in. Now, appraisal waiver is real simple, and I don't have to do an episode. That's just where you just say, I don't care what it appraises at, I will pay the difference if it matters, right? Whatever it is. So if this $400,000 house comes in at $350, you're going to have to fork up $350, okay? So you need to make sure that your agent has run the numbers and knows that this house is going to appraise at $400, right? He knows it, or she knows it in her heart. Or it's a gamble. Like, okay, so what happens if you waive appraisal and then it's at the appraised value, then it's fine. Didn't happen. Nothing happened. Didn't matter. So you're going to get loan funded. It's great. The other option besides full-on waiver is to do what's called an appraisal gap. So that's where you set the amount in which you're willing to cover a shortfall between the appraisal and the purchase price. So in our scenario of, say, $450, let's say $445, it comes in appraised at, you're willing to put, you say, Well, you say before, as you submit the offer, you say, we are going to cover up to $10,000 in this transaction. Okay. We'll do a $10,000 appraisal gap. So the 450 house comes in at 445. It means you have to spend the $5,000 extra to cover that. Now, if it comes in at 428, you only have to spend $2,000 of your own money. And again, if it comes in at value or above, you don't spend anything. So it was a gamble. So it paid off. It paid off for it. It didn't matter. This gives an assurance to the seller that they're closer to getting the money that they wanted or that they were expecting from the offer. And this is more valuable than the purchase price offer often. I recently won, one of my buyers won a house where they were not the highest. They were not the highest bid. Another house was. But we had a $10,000 appraisal gap in. So they wanted to take the sure thing, sort of. We were lower. But I think we were like 10 lower. And so they were willing to take a chance of $10,000 lower just because we put that gap in. Now, it is an element of risk tolerance. And here's one suggestion we did with these buyers. What we did is they had, say, $70,000. I'm just saying that. $70,000 that they could put toward the purchase of a home. And originally, that was all going to be their down payment and closing costs. And I said, okay, well, let's budget it out like this. Let's actually say you're only going to put down $40,000 on your down payment, another $8,000 will be toward closing costs. Okay, so that gives you about $20,000. Let's do an appraisal gap of $10,000, and then $10,000, that's for repairs and whatever else you're going to do in case we don't, you want to change things up, okay? Because really the difference between a loan with 10% down versus a loan with 11% down is ridiculous. It doesn't matter. So on our loan, when we're applying for the house, we have to put the percentage in Washington. So we put a 10% down, say conventional loan with a $10,000 appraisal gap. That's a strong offer. So it was really about budgeting it. Now the house came in close to value. It was actually like short, like $1,000, right? So they were able to, they paid that $1,000, then they had the $9,000 left over that they could then put down on their down payment further to help lower the monthly cost. I'm pretty sure that's what they're going to be doing. Or they could also use that to go with repair money. It all depends. They get to decide. So what I'm telling you is I think it's better to have a lower down payment guarantee. Because like you can always, let's say you said, I'm doing an 8% down conventional loan. Because you really have 10%, but you want 2% of that to be ready for the appraisal gap. You told that to the seller. You're doing 8%, and then you do 10 at the end. It doesn't matter. They don't care. No one's gonna come after you. It's a minimum of 8%. What you have to do is check with the lender to make sure that you can do an 8% down. Because that will raise up your monthly payment slightly. So see if you're willing to do that. Now, some people will argue with me and they will say, but Silas, I do not want to pay more than the home is worth. And I will argue the home is worth whatever a buyer is willing to pay for it. It is, you get one, appraisers can change from day to day. Like one appraiser on the same day is going to appraise a home at a different value than another appraiser most of the time. Again, I've talked about this before. You need to not look so much at what the house price was, but is your monthly payment worth that to you? Is living in this house worth that monthly payment to you? Because we're buying our houses right here, right? And you're buying a home. Let's understand, we are buying our houses properly at a method, right? We're buying because we see the long-term value. We're not jumping in. We're not trying to flip a home. We're going in to have a wonderful home for ourselves, or if we choose to have a family and have a family there, we're doing that. We're doing that to build wealth. So we're going to own these homes for more than 5 years, most likely. So at the 5 to 7 year mark is when you don't really have to be concerned about selling a home and losing money. You're probably going to make money, or at the very least, you're going to wash out, most likely. Big asterisk sign there, okay? Because I can't see the future. But in the past, what tells us is if you're somewhere for 5 years with a home, you're gonna leave either at not losing money or making a little money. Now, if you were in a place like Seattle the last 5 years, you made a lot of money on this home. Let's be honest. So, yeah, because we are long-term or investor or life person, we're thinking about ourselves long-term. We're not so concerned about that, the purchase price being out of control, too high. Not to say, don't wait, you know, house is only worth $400,000. Please do not spend $500,000 on it. That's not getting you in a good place. Be aggressive, but sensible. Be aggressive, but sensible. And I think that's where the gap is. It's a sensible, because you decide ahead of time how much you're willing to cover for a gap. 10%, 20%. You know how out of control your offer is. Your agent can tell you this is obscene. This is way bigger. And hopefully your professional can give you an idea of what, based off of comps, the house should appraise for in that rough area. And I would give it like a 5%, you know, 10%, 5% variance, okay, that they could be wrong. A few thousand here or there. So just budget it out. And then you can use the appraisal gap to help you win the home. And hopefully you don't even end up spending that money, right? So that's the appraisal gap. Other people are using it and they're winning houses with it. And it's one of the best tools you could use right now to win that home. So go ahead and check to see if your finances will allow it, and start writing that down. Start writing that down. If your agent doesn't like it, find out if they're winning homes, okay? Find out if they're winning homes for people and decide for yourselves what's more important, winning the home or this pride issue about the home value versus living there, okay? Folks, that is the program. Thank you so much for listening to me. Thank you for tuning in each week. Again, if you want that buyer's guide, the PDF, please email me at silas@silasgetsreal.com. I'll send that to you for free. Just tell me where you're from. And of course, if you want to work with get connected to an agent that I love and respect all over the nation, please, again, email me at silas@silasgetsreal.com. And I will connect you with somebody who is not only good, but a legitimately good person. Okay, that's my promise that I'm going to work toward. And of course, go to Apple Podcasts and please give us a nice 5-star review. We really want that. It helps the program out so much. And if you're asking for nothing else, or that's the least, right? That's the least thing we want. Oh my gosh, I keep talking. Happy home buying.